welcome to Matter Under Mind. If you are following along at matterundermind.com, this edition is for the future of gene editing, CRISPR-Cas9 article. You can find it at our website. And we're going to be talking about gene editing, something that is incredibly controversial and foundational, and I think will be the future of biologic research and healthcare. So what is CRISPR? A lot of people refer to kind of the whole process as CRISPR. And CRISPR actually stands for, let's get this right, clustered, regularly interspaced, short palindromic repeats. And that's just referring to a certain type of code of DNA. Honestly, the name is not that important. What it does is what's important. So you'll hear this referred to as CRISPR and CRISPR-Cas9 a lot. And it's a new process for gene editing that is basically just simpler, faster, it can do more, and it can alter genes within embryos and within live humans or organisms, any sort of organism. Because gene editing is not just done on people, done on animals as well. So, what is the process that CRISPR-Cas9 is hijacking? Well, it's hijacking a natural process, which is the use of this Cas9 protein, or there's a lot of variations of it. Most of them are abbreviated with Cas, C-A-S. So the Cas9 protein is a protein that specifically targets viral DNA. So the process is a virus will land on a cell. Its vector, or its transport unit, basically, will land on the cell and then open up the cell membrane and insert viral DNA into the nucleus. That's an issue, because if this viral DNA then gets incorporated into your DNA, this is how a virus hijacks a cell. It hijacks a cell by incorporating its DNA into the DNA of the host, and then it takes advantage of the host by causing the host to then create more viruses, because your DNA codes for proteins. Eventually, the DNA that's implanted by the virus into your DNA is going to be coded for, it's going to be processed, and it's going to be turned into, you know, the process of transcription and translation and all that into a protein via amino acids. So that is a big issue for a cell. We don't want to be doing that. We don't want to be hijacked. So the cell's response to that is this protein Cas9, or a kind of the spectrum of Cas proteins. The Cas9 protein has incorporated in it a piece of RNA. And RNA is, I mean, for those who don't know, is RNA is basically a single strand of DNA. So when I say that, I want to say that right. So DNA is double helix, right? You have two sides that pair with each other, and a strand of RNA is just one of those sides. So it's looks kind of like a strip, and it has the base pairs on it, but it doesn't have the base pairs matched up to anything. Okay, and that's important because it's not matched up with anything. That RNA will then seek out a sequence to match up with, and that specific sequence for Cas9 is viral DNA sequences. So it has a strip of RNA that matches with viral DNA, finds the DNA segment that was inserted into the host, and then the Cas9 protein destroys that DNA of the viral DNA. It does that by cutting it, simply. I mean, once you cut it, it becomes less effective. The DNA could not code for any sort of protein. And if it is eventually incorporated into your DNA, at least it doesn't make viruses. That's really important. So, this is huge. Scientists thought, what if we could change that RNA to not just target viruses, but what if we made that RNA match up with genes? Genes in natural cells, DNA. So instead of targeting a virus, you're targeting the actual DNA of a cell with this Cas9 protein. And it's going over there and it's cutting. It's cutting the DNA, which would be a very bad thing, right? If for the cell. It's just destroying a gene. You know, the body tries to, the nucleus tries to fix that problem, but it's prone to errors, and a lot of times it just totally jacks it up if you cut that gene. So they do this to basically genes, and they see what happens when they cut off genes and turn off genes with mostly bacteria and some animal tests. And it's just kind of this hide and seek way of discovering what genes do, is you just destroy a gene and you'd see what happens. It's kind of like smashing a watch and looking at the pieces, or taking out a piece of the watch and seeing what happens. So they do this for a while, and then they discover that you can manipulate the Cas9 protein to, instead of cut the DNA, you can just have it sit there. You can disable its cutting mechanism, and it'll just sit on the gene. And by doing that, you can not actually destroy a gene, and you can turn it on and off. You can see what happens when it's off, see what happens when it's on, and this is just more ways for them to kind of see what happens when genes are turned on and off. It's a very rudimentary way of trying to figure things out. But that's not the cool part. The cool part is when they actually do cut a gene, and they cut it in specific places. And they do that by coding the Cas9 protein and pairing it with an RNA sequence that can pair with a certain gene. And they cut it at two specific places, right? And then they introduce DNA that will fit in that space. And so they can actually cut out genes precisely and splice in genes. The term splice has been around for a long time, and this process has been possible for a long time, but the CRISPR-Cas9 protein process is incredibly faster and more precise. The Cas9 protein degrades pretty quickly, so there's a little chance of it, you know, overcutting or cutting in the wrong spot. Although there is still some chance. So what sort of things can be done with this? Well, at the Oregon Health and Science Institute in Portland, a team led by, I'm going to destroy this name, Shurukrat Matilipov, apologies, they edited human embryos to remove a heart condition that causes increased thickness of the heart. That condition is known as hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. This is a condition that's very deadly for young people, especially athletes or involved in any sort of jolts. Their hearts can be stopped, and it's deadly in a lot of cases. So this experiment proved that you can use CRISPR to specifically target that gene that causes that problem and remove it. And they replaced it with maternal DNA. So they didn't replace it with anything sort of cosmetic, or I guess you'd say synthesized. It's, instead of taking the dad's gene, they replaced it with the mom's gene, because the mom's gene was healthy and the dad's gene was unhealthy, right? These were not cases where the children then grew to maturity. In U.S. law, it actually states that you can't let an embryo live longer than 14 days if it's being researched on or used for a research process. So that's a weird law that is actually on the books in America. There's a lot of controversy over gene editing and the process of CRISPR itself, and that is actually covered in a Radiolab podcast that I also link in my article if you want to go look at that. I think it's called The Primitive Streak. So now let's think about what this means for the future of children, the future of people, because most healthcare professionals would say that your genome, your genetics, are going to be the most important factor moving forward in healthcare. That your specific genome will be sequenced and your healthcare will be tailored specifically for your genotype, for the genes that are within every cell of your DNA. That means that's a good thing, right? You're going to have more specific healthcare. We're going to know what people are prone to, what diseases they might want to look out for, what things they want to avoid, what they can and cannot do. Certain, you know, pharmaceuticals might be tailored specifically for people's DNA. That's good. And this is a process that's getting easier and easier to do. It'll be soon that we have this. And I mean, back in 1990, it would have taken 13 years and cost you about $10 billion to have your genome sequenced. And today, it only costs a couple thousand bucks, and it can be done in a day or two. This is exponential growth in the speed of how what this can be done at. So, again, what does this mean for genomic editing? Great, now we have the genome sequence of every person alive. Let's imagine you get pregnant and you go to your doctor and you tell him, "Hey, I'm pregnant." And the first thing he does is say, "Okay, cool. Let's get the genome of your baby sequenced so we can know what your baby is going to be looking at as far as genetics." What if you find out your baby has precursors for leukemia, has a growth defect, has a mental disorder, or some other life-threatening disease like that hypertrophic cardiomyopathy? Well, then you're looking at, a future where you know that there's going to be issues. Well, now we have this process called CRISPR. And say a couple years go down the line and it becomes even more and more precise and safe, which, signs are showing that it's going to be. Well, then you're looking at a choice. Is it moral to change the DNA of your child? Now, morality is something that, is on a spectrum. Different people think different things. Obviously, this is largely religiously heated debate because a lot of people believe, DNA is a gift from God and it's something that we shouldn't touch. But it seems that if your child was going to have one of these issues and you did nothing about it, that could be almost just as immoral. That if you're able to stop harm and you do nothing, that might be just as immoral. At the very least, it's something to think about. It's not that we haven't, in the past, used technology to overcome biological shortcomings. I mean, eyeglasses, we inject insulin into diabetic patients, we have vaccines that, are even using similar pathways to stop, prevent diseases. This seems like a new threshold, and it definitely is, but how much of one? And is it one that we shouldn't cross into? A lot of people are worried that if we do cross into this line or this into this new world of gene editing, we'll have something called designer babies. And that's essentially that eventually people might just pick and choose what traits and qualities they want in their baby. From things as cosmetic as eye color to something as important as IQ, or make them immune to diseases, give them bigger muscles, make them run faster, sing better. This might be a good thing, right? What if we made people better? It seems like a good thing, but there also seems to be something inherently wrong there, something unnatural, something, something too test tube for humanity. There's a film, Gattaca, that was done, I think it was back in the 90s. And it's about a future like this, where people are basically separated by their genetics. And the people who are designer babies with incredible genetics are the high class, and the people who either couldn't afford to have their children genetically altered or didn't do it for some sort of moral or religious reason are called the faith births. And they are they're considered less than. They're considered not capable of the same great feats as the genetically elite. But the motto of the story is there's no sequence, there's no gene for the human spirit. And that may be true. That may not be true. Maybe there is a gene for the human spirit. Maybe we just haven't coded for it yet. But these are weird things to think about, that maybe one day we could design our children. But CRISPR doesn't stop there. CRISPR is, and I refer to it as CRISPR, it's really the CRISPR-Cas9 process, the whole thing. CRISPR is capable of changing genes in adult humans. Something like inserting a specific Cas9 protein with DNA into a cancer cell, you could target cancerous DNA and replace it and stop cancer. You could destroy things like all sorts of genetic diseases. That could be the cure for diabetes one day. It could be the cure for sickle cell anemia. It could be the cure for all sorts of viral DNA issues, HIV, any sort of virus in this sort of thing could stop, or any sort of genetic decay. This could be the key to stopping aging. It really could be that foundational to genetics, to human biology. Then you have a whole nother bag of problems to reach into, a whole nother Pandora's box that's opened. Is are people meant to live that long? And these are questions that we're gonna have to face. And it's not here yet, and I get that a lot of it might be sort of doomsday thinking, but these are questions that we have to think about. But at the same time, all technologies have good and bad to them, and it depends on how they're used. If we can use this CRISPR-Cas9 protein method to stop disease, prevent death, that seems like a good thing. And if we can prevent our children from having issues, that seems like a good thing. So we'll see where it goes. But what do you guys think about it? Let me know in the comments. And thanks for listening. Once again, this is Matter in the Mind, and I'm Brett Volter.